Thank you for this opportunity. You know, I guess I could just talk one-on-one. But when I'm from here, it's very unnerving, you know. And then I'm just hoping that I could say, you know, the things that I could, you know, help you to help you and also help you to think differently, and think a different way, a different perspective. But also, my biggest fear is that I say something that I might cause you to fall or stumble, or that's my biggest fear. So as I share my testimony, please continue to pray for me. What happened was my grandmother told me that I was a very slow child, and they thought I was a mute because I didn't speak until I was about 4.5, 5. Mm-hmm. And after that, I just go 120 miles per hour. So, you know, my mind is racing, but my tongue is not very slow. So sometimes, you know, that my wife always yells at me, "You don't make any sense." You know, because, you know, I assume that you understand what I'm thinking. And that's why I'm saying that. So if I do that, please raise your hand and let me know. Okay? So is it, can it, is it on? Or is it?
Is it plugged in?
Oh, okay. Oh, I see. Oh, okay. That. As you can tell, I'm not good at PowerPoint, you know, so just kind of bear. F5. Pardon me?
F5.
F5.
Okay. Right.
And also, Elder Child is my eye doctor. He can tell me I have a bad eyesight too, so. Okay. Okay, got it. There's so many things I want to share with you. It's just the reason that I want to share with you is that, you know, that I'm preaching to choir, and I'm almost 62 now. I've been retired 2.5 years ago, and I've been working with our, you know, the youth for last 40 plus years. And the things I'm sharing, not because I'm better, but I'm sharing because I made so much mistake. Who knows Will Roger? Okay, it's older folks. Okay. Okay. He's a great talker, right? So this is what he says. You are a smart person if you learn from your mistake. But you are a genius if you learn from somebody else's mistake. The problem is that we human beings are very proud people, myself too, including. And we don't learn. So I'm better. I can do better. I experienced this one. The reason is this, okay? I've been, you know, that I'm a... One day somebody asked me, "Who are you? What do you do?" This is what I tell them, is that I'm a missionary. How I support myself is being an electrical engineer. So that's why I tell them. So I worked for 35 years at the Dresden Nuclear Power Station. That's first commercially operated nuclear power plant that developed from the, you know, same idea, theory they have from develop the bomb. Over there, you know, that you went through, I worked different capacity. You know, I was, I operated 2 nuclear reactor. I was responsible for, you know, operating that for 2 years. And for another 5 years or so, my responsibility was operating experience coordinator. What that was is this, my job is every morning, we have the website that tell you what happened, something happened, what, something tripped, reactor tripped, or so they have some kind of fire, some kind of issue. Then my job is to look into that and apply that, whether that, then identify what the cause of it, and whether that issue applies to my plant or not. Then if that does apply it...
Can we talk louder?
Okay, sorry. Okay, sorry. My job is to make sure that... we do have a corrective action in process, whether we replace components or the procedures or processes such that we would not be susceptible to that. And we have certain timely, we have to take care of that. And so that's what, you know, we have to do. But when I'm looking at, when I did a research on it and put all the data on it, you know that we have a lot of mistakes initially. Then the same mistakes tend to go down about 2-3 years later. About 4 or 5 years later, they have the same mistakes kind of at the lowest peak. And about 7, 8, 9 years, I start picking up again. So I was wondering, why does it happen? So there's an organization that supports our nuclear power plant that we have to be part of that. They are the one who assess us, give evaluation us. Without that, the U.S. government would not give a license to operate a nuclear reactor. So we do a lot of, you know, get together, conference, research on it. And this is what usually happens. A person comes in a new job, they learn. And because they are, you know, that they are coming first time, they make mistakes. And they make, you know, they try not, but they still make mistakes. So about a year or two into it, they are getting better. They are proficient. They know what the process is. And so they are getting better, more efficient. So as 3-4 years, they are getting some better. And about 4-5 into it, people get promoted or they get bored. They want something different. And then what they do is we hire another person to come in at my place, and we spend about 6 months to turn over and train, work with them. And after they are doing the learn, then you move on to different positions, different responsibilities. So one person doing it, but what we learned was all the experience and knowledge, even though we try to transfer to that person, is not 100%. And we don't know why. I mean, we have every data is there, but I guess personal pride or those are our folks. I don't know what's going on. Or I can do better. Or you know, whatever. Or now the making money is so important, we try to cut the process. So this way we can produce more. One reactor, okay, what it produces is one reactor, they earn $1 million per day. Two reactors, $2 million a day. These are pure profit. Okay, so if you just trip the reactor, shut down the reactor, let's say, 2 days, we are losing $4 million. Mm-hmm. And so the financial pressure is there too. So that's another reason too. So the reason I'm telling all these stories is that, you know, that we've been making a lot of mistakes. Let's learn from it. Mm-hmm. And so we don't make the same mistake. I can guarantee you all of you here are parents. Okay? I know that we want to have a close walk with the Lord. More importantly, we want our children to have a close walk with the Lord. That's why you're here. Okay? This is my granddaughter. I'm very proud. My granddaughter is 20 months old. Those of you know that my son is Justin, and he's married. He has one daughter. And he was in Haiti for a couple of years. Now he's in Guam, working also with Jiun and David in Guam. So I get to see only once a year. And they just came here a few weeks ago. As a grandfather, the only granddaughter I have, is that I want to make sure that she have fun. So I got a puppy. And I get trained them, and I have two kittens, and then also chicken coop and all that. I know I enjoy that, but I know my granddaughter will enjoy that, okay? And then in the morning she wakes up, she doesn't call me Harabaji, he called me Harbi, because she cannot say Harabaji, okay? Harbi, you know, then that means so. And we have two kittens. Their name is Uyu and Duyu. Okay? Because they look exactly the same. And the one is kind of white on the bottom, but it looks exactly the same. But that's slightly light brown color. So that's why we decided to call it Duyu. And then so Uyu, Duyu. That means let's go see Uyu, Duyu. And my job was to make sure it's great to be grandfather. I don't have to discipline her. I just enjoy it and spoil her and move on. senior diaper change. Oh, okay, senior diaper change. But I'm trying to describe the relationship we want to have with the Lord God in heaven. And if I try to explain it, you're not gonna, you know. If I show this picture, you could see that, right? Mm-hmm. The relationship you want to have, this kind of relationship with your sons and daughter right now, mm-hmm. right? And then you want this kind of relationship with the Father in heaven, right? So this is why I want to share with you. This is why all of you are here. Okay? Do you know, this was amazing experience with this camp meeting. This is the reason why. There's a lot of things I want to share with you and how it tied to mission work. Pastor Jeff, this morning about the fear, fearful, and then and also yesterday about information about losing our kids, how much we are losing. So I have all the data that I was put all the same information. So last night, even this morning, I have to go and revise it slightly because I don't want to say same thing. The identity is something that I want to share with you. Who is this person?
Prince William.
So what is the role? I mean, the role. He's a Prince William, but he's going to be a king of England after his father, Prince Charles, become king. Then he's the next in line, because a lot of, I guess, some people like they will maybe want to consider him to be a prince, right? I mean, the next king. They're talking about that too. But I can guarantee you, he knows exactly who he is. He's a prince of England, and he's going to be king of England soon. Our job as a parent is teaching our kids they are sons and daughters of God. Mm-hmm. That's what parent job is. Once they know who they are, they know what to do.
Amen.
It's not something somebody you put the pedestal on the mantelpiece. This is my son. That's not what parenting job is. Parenting job is let them know they are son and daughter of God and responsible as a sons and daughters of God. So that's how it goes. Yeah. Do you know, when we see, that right now, different figures tell it differently. We have about, they say, 50 to 60% divorce rate in the United States. But really speaking, what they said is about 80% separation, because a lot of people cohabitate and they separate. Those data doesn't go into as marriage, even though they separate, okay? And I believe, and this is something that I just want to share with you, is this. Nowadays, the break of family, I mean, they're all different issues. But one of the biggest issues that I see that I just want to come back to share with you is this. The men have not lived up to the responsibility of man that God asked us to be. So this is something that I just want to share quickly with you. If you look at the Sister White's counseling on the men, there's three things she told us about non-delegable responsibility of men. We are the head of household. We are the high priest of the home. We are the provider home. So we are house band, right? I think that we are losing, as I'm speaking to the men of this group here, we have not done our job. Okay? And this is what Ellen G. White says in Education, which is very famous, Education, page 57, verse 3. So I just want to share this one with just for men is this. The greatest want of the world is the want of man. Men who will not be bought or sold. Men who in their innermost souls are true and honest. Men who will not fear to call sin by its right name. Call sin by right name. And men whose conscience is as true to the duty as a needle to the pole. Men who will stand for right though heavens fall. So the reason that I share with you is this. The well-being of a household has a responsibility of a mother and father. I believe the mother a lot of times have done quite a bit. And what I've seen is as a man, we haven't lived up to the standard that God asked us to live. Okay, so this is something that I just want to share with you. The reason I can share with you is I'm part of it too. And somehow, last few years, things I've been doing, it makes sense to me. And that's why I just want to share with you. Not to say you're worse off, I'm better. It's not, I'm saying that I'm part of that. So let us understand, know what God asks us to do, and let us do the work that God wants us to do. Okay? Okay. Do you know that the reason we started was our children? And then yesterday I talked to the Philip and the David. And so they gave up like 70%, 80% loss of our second generation, our children. So I pulled them up and talked to him yesterday, Philip, about this. He said, my personal experience about our children is not 70%, 80%, but 90%. And you know what Philip says? These are the information, the hard facts they have. That's what he spread out. He said, yes, he agreed. His personal experience, things that he's been around, we are losing 90% of our kids. Okay? That's what Philip says. And that's my personal experience too. I've been here in 1969, August. And then actually, I didn't really fully engage with the church ministry until my son was born, which was, you know, he's 32 years old now. And then and I was doing the work, but I didn't really fully engage. And I will share with you what the fully engaged definition means, okay, with this. And that was the reason that how can we help our kids, you know, to stay in the Lord? That's Sylvia. That's my sister who are going on my side. You know? Even here, see, I ran away from Chicago to be away from her. 5 months later, she moved down 5 miles away. Anyway, but you know one thing, you know that she says this, you know that hey Danny, because I was thinking, do you know what that means? I want you to do this. stop thinking, okay? But anyway, so it's great to have her. I mean, she brings different perspective, and she's a couple years older than me. But I mean, we are brothers and sisters, and we can yell and scream, but we can still be of good friends and respectful relationships. So people like that really be, I mean, I'm glad to have her to be next to us. But sometimes she doesn't come often as there, so we can have some privacy though. But anyway, it's good to have a, it's good to have a good friends. We can go journey together. And so that was why we think, how can we help? And to help these kids to really grounded and help them. And the mission trip was like one thought, because when we do a research on it, and people who love the Lord know how to give, know how to serve others.
Amen.
So what you know that we that is why we did a lot of outreach, like you know the homeless and the nursing home, other things too. And one quick fast way is a mission trip, and that's what we did. So this is a kind of, I want to tell you, instead of telling all the numbers and all that, I will just tell you the story. There's a very successful, well-to-do family. They have two sons and daughter. The husband is working as in the medical area, and their family is doing well. They have, you know, their kids are growing old. They got everything they need to succeed in life. You know, they go to the class, and then also extra education. They have a prayer, the morning devotion, evening devotion as a family. And their parents are very devout Christians. But what happened was this. The mother was engaged, but did not totally give the heart. Jesus Christ. Second coming, Jesus on the way here. And their father, two son, daughter, is going up to heaven now to meet Jesus in the midair. Mother, she's bawling, crying, you know, and seeing their husband and kids going up, but yet she's not. Okay? Just imagine the heart that she's feeling. Now, I'm ready. Finally, go up the last train to go back into heaven to meet in Jesus in midair. What I decide to do is this. I'm going to give my seat. I'm going to stay in earth. have a eternal death, and let her get on the my seat, let her go up to heaven to be with their families. What I'm trying to say is this. If you do God's work, just like Jesus Christ, who gave his life for all of us, we have to have that type of love for others. Then we cannot truly do the work. Don't do the work. But it's important. It's not doing the work, it's important. Why you're doing it and how you're doing it is so important. Okay? The first mission trip that went to Mexico was 2001. That time, I only took my son and daughter. I didn't take anybody else. Okay, at that time. Their name was Tom Kim, Jason Kim, Justin Kim, Jenny Ann, Margaret Moravec, Amy's son, and Young Chen. He was youth pastor, and I went there. I only took my son and daughter. What I'm trying to say is this. I'm not their biological father, but they're my son and daughter. So this is another illustration I want to share with you. Unless you really care about them as if they're your children, you cannot truly impact their kids. So the two stories I tell you is this. It's not what is the work. Your heart is important. You know, if Tom could not make it happen, I'm responsible for him. He's there. God's going to ask me, you had influence on Tom. How come you didn't have a positive impact on him? Mm-hmm. I believe the biggest thing that will tear our heart apart is not things that we committed, but the influence that we did not use. Mm-hmm. So that's why. So things that I'm telling you is a why and how. And what type of attitude you have to do the work. Everybody could do the work, right? But this is your attitude, your perspective is so important, why you're doing the work. That's the reason I'm sharing that the stories I'm telling you, okay? First mission trip was, first mission trip was Nuevo Laredo, Mexico. That was 2001. So we continue on to 2011. That time that every year it got bigger and better, bigger and bigger. So what happened was we worked with the Seventh-day Adventist Church there. So we were able to, during that time, in Nuevo Laredo, Mexico, the people walked to church. So they have a very, very house church that is size of house. So they are building so many houses like 10 blocks away. So people could walk to that church. So during that time, that time that we built a small church, and also was the house for the widow that during that time. That we were supporting one widow too that time, and so with the church elders over there, and we decided to support and help them. And initially, when the mission trip started, there was Westmont Korean SDA Church, then turned into Chicago Central Korean SDA Church, then Lombard SDA Fellowship, and we continue on that time. April 2012, we have noticed just about 2 months before we went to mission trip, we got a notice from the internet conference that you will not go to Mexico that time. So that's the time they have a drug cartel issues. There's a lot of violence. And as a result, so in order to go to the foreign mission trip, you both have to approve, and you have to get the short-term and the insurance from the Adventist risk management, then the conference kind of okay in order to get that. Then you have to have that in order to go to foreign mission trip. So they will let us. So because of that, we cannot get the insurance. That's as a result, we changed that. Amazing thing was this. Year before that trip, one of the person came to me and said, "Elder Danny, there's the one good area you can go mission trip on." That was Montana, which that we went. She was a senior in a nursing school in Andrews University. So they was as a senior mission trip, that's where they went. And so because of that, you know, that God already knew what's going on and planned ahead. So that's what I'm trying to say here is that God is already set everything set for you. Okay? We just have to be faithful to the work that we do. Another thing that I want to share is this. I'm going to ask Tom. time, you have an older sir, Mila and Sailor, right? How old is Mila now?
She's
six. Does she worry about you paying electric bill?
No.
Does she worry about, you know, that that you make sure your insurance, you know, paid on your car insurance? So this is what I'm trying to say is this. A lot of times, we don't let God do his work. We try to do all the work that we need to do. We have to do our work, and God doesn't let him work. We sometimes we don't let God work his part. And I think that's the issue that we have here. You know, Mila, I don't think she's going to wait night time, you know, 2 in the morning. Oh, my dad didn't pay electric bill. She doesn't worry about that. She's the only thing she has to do is be a good daughter to Tom and Susan. So that's what I'm trying to say is that understand what our role is, who we are. And we have a mighty, powerful God in heaven. Okay? And that's why just let him do his responsibility. We do our responsibility. And then as a result of that, we are able to change right away, come back, get a contact, and we continue on. And then this was 18th mission trip this year. It was from 2001 to 11, we went to Nuevo Laredo. And 12 to 18, last 7 years, we went to Fort Peck in Indian Nation. There's a reason why we only went to one place. I'll share with you, okay? The Fort Peck is, they have a 7 Indian reservation or Indian country or Indian nation or reservation in Montana. The place that we went is Fort Peck Reservation, which is in the northeast corner. There are about 6,000 Sioux Indians and Assiniboine Indians. If you look at the history, Sioux Indians and Assiniboine Indians, they came from Wisconsin, Missouri, Illinois, and the Minnesota area. And they are fourth sent to live in Montana. And this is their flag, I guess, the Fort Peck tribes, Assiniboine or Sioux Indians. They were sent to a place called Badland of Montana. It's not, it's, the reason it's a bad land is a bad land. Okay? Okay? During that time, you cannot grow anything. And you will see, you know, it is a beautiful hiking place, all that, because now we have everything. But just can you imagine 150 years ago living in those kind of environment with no facilities? So this, what I'm trying to say is that why they have such hard feeling against outsiders, and especially the people who want to help them. So when we work close with the Indian nation. The first person on the left is chairman of the Indian nation, and the one on the right is his name is Kenny Smoker. He's the one we constantly work through, and he's like secretary of a health department in Indian nation. That's the work side of this. There's a one elder family lives in. This is a Mr. Marsh, Elder Marsh, and they are right now trying to build community center / church in the place that we are going, Poplar, Montana. And that's what we will always work through him. The reason that I want to share is this, that we work very close work with them. But at the same time, every work that we do is we have a meeting with them and help them things that they ask us to do. So one thing I want to ask is this, is that it's not that we think that we're going to help them. If they don't think it's helping them, it's useless. So you got to understand, feel that what we're doing is helpful? So feedback process, knowing that is so important. That means that even though we spend thousands of dollars, we spend that to do a lot of work and materials and transportation, if you don't think it's helping them, it's useless, right? We always have certain goals that we have. The medical ministry, we got, which is dental, PT, eyeglass service, and health assessment. The mentoring high school, the local high school kids, BVS for kids. You know, build a handicap ramp deck for elderly handicapped people. And the prayer booth and distribute globe tracks and pray with them. And the great controversy in Bibles and health magazines. And also supporting initial phase of the church that we are building. We also do dinner ministry with the local people and mentoring our leaders, our kids to be a leaders of a church, not youth leader, but the leader of the church. Yeah. Goal number 7, dinner ministry. There's a lot of mission team comes there. They bring up, they make sandwiches, they make different things to bring the people. When we start the dinner ministry, so we want to make sure to spend time with them, respect them, work with them, respect the culture. So this is what they said. We are the first mission team that share the meal the way you eat. They bring a meal to them, but they never share the meal with them. So this is what they said. They want to help you, but they don't want to be friends with me. So respecting them, even though they have less, so important. Because they have let them, if you disrespect that, then work that with is useless. A lot of these things we did because they asked us to. Okay, for example, like number two, mentoring popular high school student. What they did was they have there's no mentor figure there. So Tom was invited with Dias and come back and help us. They love basketball, so we play basketball, spend time with them, talking with them, and have like pizza dinner, ice cream, social, so we do that. And then actually, there's some results from it. But I want to just share is important. So goal number three, goal number five is the meat of it. Mm-hmm. Rest of it is supporting goal number three and number five. The reason is this, I want to share with this. Right now, you and I agree that we are living toward end of time, right? Close to end of time, right? So we have sense of urgency to the work that we need to do, okay? And Satan knows that too, right? Right now, it's not time for us to do good work. It's time for us to do most important work. The Satan is putting a lot of good work in front of us, so he would not focus on the work that we need to do, which is a watchman and light bearer. So we got to be very careful. All the good work doesn't mean it's come from God. So be careful. And the one thing that we really doesn't exercise nowadays is this, the discernment. We got to be loving, caring, putting in. But there's no, we rarely exercise the discernment nowadays. I think that's very, you know, important. When we go there, I mean, so we have a 12 passenger van and one minivan, and we have 7x14 trailer. That we bought these for outreach and the mission trip, and we drive 24 hours straight from Chicago to Montana. This is nothing, but before you 30-hour drive to Mexico straight. Okay? But the amazing thing is this: when kids suffer through, they don't consider suffering. Reason is this: they are sacrificing comfort, sacrificing rest, so we can help more for the people. Then they're fine. Sylvia went to a number of mission trip with us, and she said, "I cannot sit in the same place for 30 hours." Guess what? After the first time, when is the next one? You know, so like even like talking to a lot of kids who went to Mexico and Montana, they said they better go to Mexico. It was hard, harsh environment, but it's amazing thing is, you know, that hard work, and then all sacrificing for the good cause, is a very joyful experience. Hard work is not hard work. It's a very joyful experience if you do it for the right reason. Okay, this is with the construction. Normally, you know, we don't do church. We do handicapped families, okay, or elderly. This is a Presbyterian church that was built in 1903. They don't use it normally. What they do is they only use it for funeral services and other special occasions. So 6 years ago, we repaired the steps. Because you got rotted again, so this time we rebuilt it. This actually, this picture, if you play Nintendo game, you will see that one of the games in there. Because while first time we fixing it, the team from Nintendo game came and took the pictures from inside outside, and they use as a picture as a part of their game. I saw. But this was first Presbyterian church that was built. to the story that the reason I want to share with this, we have a non Seventh Day Adventist member goes mission trip with us. He's a Presbyterian gentleman, and he has two sons. And first project, first year he went, there was repairing the steps. And this is what he said. I don't understand. You are Seventh Day Adventist members, and you are commission trip. You are fixing a Presbyterian church. That, I didn't understand that. He said, if this was my church team and this was Seventh Day Adventist church, we would not do that. So that was a powerful experience for that gentleman. And from that point on, him and his two sons are coming every the last 6 years with us. And actually, the person, you know, blue jacket and top, that's his son. And nowadays is a he's running a construction crew. Even though he was high school and he just became freshman in college, we let the kids run it. And so, you know, his father is a charge of construction project. We tell them, hey, this is a push. What do you think? What do you think how you should do? And they talk about it. Okay, maybe you got to think about this and that. Okay, then we let them do it. You know, so it is important to let them take the responsibility and the roles that they need to play. Every year we change differently. Previous time we bring 2,500 eyeglasses, the used ones and machines, and we test it and spits out like 10 different prescriptions near to that. Then we pull it out, make sure they try it on. If it fits, they get it. But these are old fashioned or people who donated, right? So Elder Charlie, he said, we got a better idea. Okay. So what we did was this year, we acquired it. He got this, the machine, the portable machine. We can set it. So we get the exact prescription of that person. So a lot of people have astigmatism. The glass that we have does not fit them. So we cannot give as much glasses that we want to. So we buy the frames, our child there. So we get prescription, and then they pick out the frame they like. So with that, then we send it to the shop the elder Charlie knows. They do it for $10 per glass. We send it to them, and they'll send it to our elder in Poplar. So now people have to pick the glass from him. So this is where they have more opportunity to spend, socialize with them, talk with them. And in this way, we're helping him. So they are forced to go to see him. So we had 120 glasses this time, right? Okay, all good, yes. And also we do dental work. Dental work is more important than, sorry, Charlie, the medical work and eyeglass work. So these are the people dying for us to do that. And then it's amazing things. I called a couple of dentists who do mission work, and they said, I cannot do that, and you should never do that either. You should not let dentists work more than 3 days in that 1 week because it's so intense, you know, that it drains you. You have to let them do that. And so we share about that. These dentists go, no. They say, we are doing it until people are done. So they give everything they have. So a lot of times we had a portable machine, we used to brought that. But now, you know what we do? We ask them to do that. They bring their setup. We send the diagram way we want it. They bring their own machine. We bring our chairs that they set up exactly why we want it. They have all the clinicians to sanitize. So, and now from this year, they bring the supplies for us. So we don't have to bring a supply from now on. So they realize that if you help us, then they know they will help their community. So that's what they do. And the work that is, the one doctor does the extraction and filling, and the other doctor kind of focus on cosmetic, particularly this is the quality of life issues, particularly the girls and the ladies. That we tend to focus on cosmetic type work because we know once they pull front teeth, they're not going to have the work on it. So what we try to do is say much as they can. And this is not perfect work because they have to do it. This was like about 2 hour work they did. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to last, but still, for the time, and they have some quality of life. And I remember that Jason was a senior in the dental school, and he went Elder Roland, this dentist. And the last work, you know, that Jason worked on it. What happened was that this lady has a cavity on front teeth. So he's like V-shaped, was half his eaten out away. So she said for the last 3 years, she never went out except work. She never smiled. She never talked in the public. And so when you said, then we will help you. We're going to build it up. It's not going to last. But at least you can smile and no problem. It's not strong enough and it's going to stain, but we will try to help you. So Jason and then Dr. Wong, they worked on it. And I was happened to be there because to pick them up and show the picture. And she started crying. She goes, now I can smile. Mm-hmm. So that is what from we try to focus on quality of life, not just the dental work. So that is why we try to separate, you know, one person focus on it, one person focus on the what they need. And that's just one of the work. And, I got to go quick. And we do health assessment. And these are the lady on the front, her name is Yana. That's Elder Charlie's work. As a result of his interaction, she joined us, our mission trip. And I think she was very apprehensive, right? And how was it after she went there? Yeah, so it's amazing thing about mission trip is that you want to bless them, but you get a lot more blessing. But when you look for blessing for yourself, you will never find it. But when you bless others, the blessing comes to you is a pure joy, and that's byproduct. And so we work with, now instead of us now, we work with their team, the health assess team. We don't just work by ourselves anymore. They will come and help us when they need to. It's amazing thing is, we can have before the mission trip, since I moved, so we work together. You know, we are co-coordinators, mission trip, because, hey, Danny, I don't think that we need to take two van anymore. We need to take one van, because we have about 10 people are committed. For we can have into it. And so I told Chuck, don't worry about it. God's going to take care of it. And then we have so many commitments. This lady, she's going to there's a school about 5 miles away from our church called Naturopathic School and the Chiropractic School. And she was down, she just moved there and she's coming to our church and she heard about our mission trip. She joined us. Initially, we don't know if we should take her or not. And also, let's take them. Okay, that's your call. Let's go. And I found out later on, after we get into Montana, she just finished training a chiropractor's training. So we asked, can you do that? It goes, yes. So that's what that lo and behold, she was there helping us out. Something that we never planned, something that we did. Previous time, we always have one or two PT, but this time we didn't have PT, but God provided somebody else that we need. Of course, vacation Bible school, though we had an average around 60 kids coming, that time. This is a time we can plant the seed of God in their heart freely. First year we went there, we had 6 kids whole week. The last year was highest, we had about 80 kids every day. The highest 80 kids. But this time, we had about 60, 65 kids. And first day was like 35, 45, then 60 kids the rest of the time. Just like here, it's amazing to see the Beacon Tribe School leaders. They work so hard. They give heart and soul. It's amazing. You bring such joy when you just watch them give a heart and soul. She's not Seventh Adventist. She came from Baltimore. Her name is Mackenzie Kim. She came here last year with Tom's brother John, and John's sister the wife's name is Julia. Julia's niece, and she heard about this. She came, and we tried to make arrangement with her father. This is what her father said. After she came back, she's the only one who maintained contact with high school group. Send the birthday gift and other things too, which is amazing. And she told her father, anything that you do summers, if you conflict the mission trip, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to go summer school. I'm going to go mission trip first, then I'll do everything else. So we have 3 high school kids, the 1 college kids and 2 high school kids who are non-Seventh Adventists. All of them told their parents that way. He said, the Alex, who has blue jacket, he's a freshman at college, he said, he told everybody, he was looking for a job, he didn't get it. The reason was, this week, Agrigo mission trip. I work every day except that week. That's why he told the interview. Okay, and but you know what? He was Lama blessed by it. You know, was here too. So that's something that's amazing what they do. These are the high school group. They were focused. This was we had a pizza dinner, and then after that they have ice cream social. So idea is spending time with them, you know, to mentoring them to develop relationship. If you go one time, you will not develop that, you know. But if you go multiple times, you are able to develop the trust and relationship. You know, that I'm pretty shy, and then I'm especially doing my things. But if it's God's work, I'm not. I have no shame. You know, when it's God's work, I'll grab anybody and talk to anybody. See, what happened was, one of my jobs is this. When I go there is called runner. I need this, then I have to grab it well there, so bring it to them. I need that, then I gotta grab that and bring that. If you don't have it, I have to go to the store 30 minutes away, grab and buy it, and bring it back. Because even though you prepare everything, you always need something. First day I went to vacation driver school, Josh, which is Charlie's first son, he's leading the vacation driver school. Elder Charlie, I need this. Then I grab it. Are you sure anything else? Then I grab, I forgot, can you bring this? Four times I have to go back and forth. So it's getting better. I think Wednesday I only have to go once. You know, but so it's just, that's my job. So I was going to the town next to it, and I met a Korean lady. So what happened was the church van that we borrow has a Chicago Central Church has a Korean name on it, okay? I was torn because when we went to Mexico, they know it's from U.S., so we didn't put any sign on it, and we are constantly harassed by them, by the local police. But that's why we don't have a sign in our van. But this one, she's a Korean lady who married to a Native American, lived there for 35 years. And she was waiting for me to come. And she came and we talked. And so we have a menu set up for the meals we have. So we changed the setup. I thought, you know, we are making a jjajang bap tonight. Why don't you come and join us? We have kimchi and jjajang bap, okay? Okay. So she came first day. Next day, she tried to call her Korean friend, didn't come, but she remembered that the lady on the center, her name is Leanne Rush. She adopted three Korean girls, okay? And the next one is Lauren. She's graduated. She's working in the hospital as in the record department. And younger one is, her name is Hayun, and she's a freshman in college, I believe, right? And they came every day. I mean, after Wednesday night, they came every day. They stay for worship, stay for dinner. And Hayun, Thursday she came to help us because of our survivor school. And Friday, and they all came. And then, guess what? With our youth pastor and Hayun and a couple of kids from, the Charlotte church and also Josh, they every Wednesday do Bible study. Yeah. And she's the one, the lady who started a church in the town, War Point, the church. So she's a good Christian. She's well educated. She has a master's degree now in anthropology. So that's why she's very open to the adopting, you know, that Korean kids. You know, those who have a National Geographic magazine, this gentleman, his name is Cody. His picture is in National Geography. So she was so thankful the things that we do. She came and the Thursday night came and danced, for us there. When we do evening devotion, you can see there are about 10 kids joining us. So now when we have an evening devotion, it's not just us. Sometimes we have about 30 kids coming and joining us for evening devotion. So that's another time that we can able to spend time with them. Okay. And these are the Montana team that we went. Youngest was 14, oldest was 79 years old. We tried to make it a family mission trip. These are the work that we did, and these are the different churches have supported us. Amen. Okay, and work together. Our church, Schaumburg Korean Church, Charlotte, and the Hickory Mount Korean Church, and also non-SDA members, and we work with the Village SDA Church in the Barren Springs. These are the different team members that we have. This is what we do. Okay, go there for. And make disciples of nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I be with you always, even to the end of the age. A lot of times, we baptize them And that's what we do. It says make a disciple of one, first, then baptize them. That means this disciple become true disciple when you're able to produce disciple. So that means you have to help them to continue to grow. It's so important. That's why we do try to go same place, having a relationship. Great Commission is a great missionary child of Christian at the Acts Apostle. That's what Ellen G. White says. This is that's what we need to do. You know, that's how we the Great Commission. Okay, is where we do it, why we do it, how we do it is so important. I want to share with how we do it is let each one give in purpose in his heart, not grudgingly or necessity of necessity, for God loves cheerful giver. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine God said, I love you, to hear that? Only way you can do that is give God's word your happy heart cheerfully. Mm-hmm. Okay? This is a main reason I want to share with this, that missionary activity, because we all have kids, okay? There are plenty of necessary, useful things to do in our world that would make pleasure, amusement, exercise almost wholly unnecessary. Brain, bone, and music muscle will acquire solidity and strength, and in using them in purpose, doing good, and hard thinking, and devising plan, and shall train them to develop power of intellect, strength of the physical organs, and put them into the practical use of giving God-given talent, which they will glorify God. This country, that's what our kids to be, right? They are strong physically, but mentally, they are sharp, and they are wise. So one of the best things that we can help them to do is serve others through the missionary activity. So the reason, personally, this is the reason I do it. My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. As for the heavens and higher than earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I love God's working. That's why the mission trip. And I cannot go, time is short, so I cannot go detail. So I just want to answer the prayer. When I go mission trip, my prayer is sometimes it doesn't answer. It takes a long time. Most time, it answers, even if it's a safety issue, threatening issue, answer is almost immediate. And God works. I mean, how we make up team, we had a problem with the leakage and the tires and all that. It didn't happen 30-hour drive, but as soon as it came, about 2-3 days after, that problem happens. It's amazing what God did us to protect us there. We help our youth to grow, and later on, like Tom, come back and help us. Hey, I need help, Amy. I need help, Jason. They'll come and help us in mentoring the kids and also work with them to give it back. The bottom here is bonding team members and particularly family members. We have family, try to make family a mission trip always. It's a great, The next time, ask Elder Charlie about the shower with his son. Okay? the bonding experience. We 3 years ago, they let us keep the medical record. We have 860 medical fires for the people. 2016 Census Bureau said the popular Montana has 854 population. So we have 816 the medical record. So we since we build a trust and relationship with them, a close relationship, because we go day and day for the last 7 years. It took 4 years to open their heart. So now we work very close together with them. Amen. And the minister to our youth, but also non-members. Anyway, so these are, but before I leave, there's one thing that I want to share, just a question that I want you to think about. We do a lot of mission trip. You've seen it, you went to, all that. The question I'd like to ask you is, I don't want you to answer that, just how do you know you're doing good, effective mission trip? We do a lot of mission trip, but we don't ever think about that. So important thing is we are wise, discerning, so we got to exercise that. So we have to do wise how we do the mission trip too. Mm-hmm. I just want to, time is short, but since my wife's not there, she has a completely different perspective than I am. But since she's not there, I ask Pastor Peter Kim to come on and speak his perspective for short, okay? Because she was the first time he went to mission trip with us. And then he has a completely different perspective, but he was just a blessing for us. But that's why I just want to have his different perspective than us for me. So I want to invite Pastor Peter to come up.
Blessing to be here. I'm still digesting your word, Pastor Jack. I'm a pastor too from Schaumburg Korean Church in Chicago. and he reminded me what the pastor is supposed to be. It was really blessed. We are missionary friends. I was a 1,000 missionary man. I was a second batch. He was third batch. So that's how I get to know him. He changed a lot.
He met me a month after I quit bartending.
Yeah, he was a tough guy. So it was really a blessing that Elder Danny asked us to join this mission trip. First thing that I learned was that how to use a restroom that doesn't have a lock or a door. So I need to be comfortable to using the restroom while I'm, you know, doing it, but that doesn't have a door. So it was quite challenging. Anyway, what I was kind of, we were like 28 members, and it was from 5 different churches and the 3 different denominations. One person doesn't even go to church. He used to, but he said that he doesn't go to church after his mission trip. He said he want to go to church. Most of them, I met them for the first time. Maybe few person that I know, but we're like a family. We're like a, for 24 hours to get there. That's the time that we become a friend. You know, you slept there, you slept there, and then you wake up, and then you see person next to you. How the person, you know, when you get up, then you need to do the, you know, brush your teeth and wash your. We don't do that there. So that's how you become your friend. And it was really, it was make a one family for those 24 hours. And then in there, what I see as a church was like, for my church, for example, about 3 weeks ago, we had unexpected 15 visitors. They're like Korean Parkinson's disease service. I mean Parkinson's patient club, something like that. So about 6 patients and volunteers and etc. About 15 people unexpectedly they came to our church. And then obviously Paula was short. We have about 80 members. So after that, they want to come to our church like a regular basis, like once a month. They're gathering every second Sabbath of the month. So they want to come to our church and then do the foot massage in our church. So debating our church board meeting was like whether we need to serve them or not. That's supposed to be issue, right? That's supposed to be issue. You know, 15, we need to go to them and then to, you know, reach out them. But instead, we are debating that whether we need to accept them or not because of the food shortage. You know, I understand that. I'm not blaming our church members. We were at that time, it was really, 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 worship service was interrupted. You know, 15 people before the worship ended, they just moved in like 15 people, and then worship still going on, and then a lot of board members doesn't know what's going on. So I totally understand where they came from, but debate we should have was that the, how we can serve them instead of the how, whether we are not accepting that or not. But our debating was that the, our issue was that the, and that much is our our churches, that's how I see it. That much is our church wasn't really prepared. You know, early church, you know, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 people, they convert a day. How can church accommodate them? How, they don't even have a place to sleep. They need to welcome, I mean, all the church members, they need to welcome all the person who just convert them to their house, and that they need, can we imagine that we open our house and then just, you don't know them, but that you welcome them, you feed them, you let them sleep. You know, those things. I mean, through this mission trip, what I learned was that even though 28 members, we don't know each other, we don't know, you know, anything, background whatsoever. But we are like one mind. We are like one heart that whatever you need, Lord, we will do it. And whatever they need, we will do it. That's what I learned from the mission trip. That's what I want for my church. Amen. Our church, what I think for that mission trip for the church is that, you know, sometimes I know that we have a local, we need to have a local mission. We have a local mission. We need to do Bible study or, you know, approaching the reach out of our community. But sometimes we need to take them the, out of their life. You know, the one week of commitment, that's a lot. You know, I'm sure that a lot of professionals here take 1 week from your work. That's a lot to ask. You know, to make that commitment. And then to go there and then to do things that it took a lot. Even for me, I learned a lot as well. I mean, I didn't expect that learn that much, but through this mission trip that I saw that the how can the church become one. One mind that was so, church supposed to be. So that's what I learned. It doesn't matter whether you're white or brown or black, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter you are pastor or you don't go to church, doesn't matter. It's all same, everybody's same. Everybody sleep the same place, everybody go to the same restroom, everybody eating the same thing. It's all same. That's what I learned. That's what I saw that the, that's what I hope for my church. So what I'm thinking was that the, I was talking to the Elder Charlie yesterday that our church hope to join the next year. We want to keep going with this. Also, what I saw was that the local people there really loved us. I saw that the, how much effort that the Elder Danny and Elder Charlie put in the community. They really welcomed me. I felt like they treat us like a family. So I was like, this is what I want. This is what I want for my church. You know? So that's what I saw, that that's what I learned from the mission trip, and then that's what I saw. Like, this is supposed to be that the mission trip we should have. That's all.
Due to family issues, I have to leave right after this. But if you have any question, Elder Charlie, Tom, and then also Pastor Kierman, also you know, Sylvia is here, you can ask any kind of questions and things that and we are willing to provide. And if you need any help, you know, that we are open, you know, and help you any way we can and help you to unify, help you to spend time with your kids. I share with some number of people already. The family works together, stays together. But family go mission together, go to heaven together. Don't forget that. Don't you want our family to go together in heaven? Our children holding hand?
Amen.
So think that, maintain that picture. Hopefully everything goes well. So I have a kind of a short prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for the time. We are able to share some of the work that you know, we've been doing for you. There's a lot of mothers and fathers here. We ask you to pour your wisdom upon them, guide them and direct them, and help them to become a truly represent you well to their own children, which you gave them as the gift. And also, help, and we ask protection and for all their children from the all the challenges and trials that Satan put in front of us and for them. And we ask to be with them. And we ask continued blessing upon the this camp meeting and particularly this group, and then I'll also be with our children. I thank you and I pray your name. Amen.
Amen. You know, Elder Danny actually has to leave today because his mother-in-law is having some major hip issues, and he has to support his wife, who is Mia, who is going to present together with Elder Danny, but last minute decided to stay home to take care of her mom. So we wanted to appreciate Elder Danny, and Kate is here. Is Kate here?
Yeah.
Oh, get her. Kate is actually was presented Monday night, and she's actually leaving tomorrow early morning. So if you didn't have a chance to thank them or talk to them, Now's your chance with Elder Danny, but Kate is going to be leaving at 5 a.m. tomorrow. Oh, okay. It's okay. Well, you guys get. I'm going to present Elder Danny with just a gift. Thank you for helping. And a round of applause for Kate. She's not here.
You know, I'm sorry, but I'd like to share one more thing, if you don't mind. It's only short because this is near and dear to me. And then I just want to draw a picture of our cats, what it could be. And this is Psalm 127, which is a title, Laboring and Prospering with the Lord. So unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards a city, the watchmen stay awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrow. For he gives beloved sleep. Behold, children are heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward, like arrows in the hands of warrior. Not common people. These are hands of warrior. So are the children's once youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but speak with their enemies in the gate. In olden days, when they are battered, the enemy come and they have a strongest person come with you. And your strongest person, mighty warrior, goes with them. Think about it. Your son and your daughters. Who's going to be going to battlefield with you? Prepare. Warrior for the Lord. Arrow is not defensive weapon. It's an offensive weapon. Think about that. Just picture that. If we train them well, they're going to go battle, spiritual battle with you, holding to you, fight with you. Just, that's what we want our children to be. Right?